you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, August 2nd, 2021. And some of you may say, but Mark, you didn't start with a scripture verse. Well, that's because I have a special guest in the studio with me, and we're going to read all of Psalm 139, and I didn't want to start with reading 139 and then read all 24 verses and then give the date. So when this is archived, maybe 2 or 3 or 5 years from now, people will say, oh, I love that broadcast on August 2nd of 2021. That's Shirley Clark. She's a sweetie. What a senior saint. In fact, Shirley, thank you for joining me for today's edition of Mark and Friends, the Monday edition. And I can't wait to share you with our listening family. I've been blessed our little time together as I'm getting to know you and met up with you a week or so back as you came into the WLUJ studios. You're part of our upcoming trip to Philadelphia, so I'm excited that I'll get to spend the 5 to 6 days with you during that trip. Recently, you were telling me about this book that you've been writing. It's a collection of some of your memories. It highlights some of your faith journey, many sights that you've seen, family members that you've loved, and how God has constantly, continually over these many years, 83 years, has been seen as your father, as he's provided for you, he's done miraculous things, and how he's just loved on you. So I've been very blessed to hear some of that. Let's begin by reading Psalm 139. So I'm going to read a little of the beginning and then let our listeners hear your sweet voice. And then we're just going to talk about some of your faith journey and some of the God sightings that you've seen over these many years. But reading from Psalm 139 for the director of music of David, a psalm. And this Psalm 139 has many favorite verses that I know will resonate with many of your hearts and minds. So be attentive, because I believe God's word is living and active. It will bring some comfort, maybe some encouragement, maybe some healthy conviction. Maybe you're wrestling with answers or need direction, and maybe it'll be revealed through the reading of this word. So join me, Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast.
I say, surely the darkness will hide me.
Hey, isn't that interesting? Surely your name is right in there. You probably knew that already, but how great. Oh, in case you're just tuning in, I have Shirley Clark here in the studio, and she's going to share some of her testimony, but we're reading through Psalm 139, and I just had to stop seeing that her name was in this very verse.
If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was placed in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! When I count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you.
If only you would slay the wicked, O God, away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Amen and amen. That was all of Psalm 139, and that's a favorite passage of Scripture for Shirley Clark, who's my special guest on today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. And we've been having a little church here, Shirley. We just have been sharing testimonies to God's glory. We prayed up the program. We asked him to use what Sheridan said to maybe encourage someone or help them along or answer maybe some of their questions or connect with your faith journey, because there's probably somebody that maybe has never had a relationship with God or doesn't understand that concept of calling God Father or Daddy, a very intimate term, or maybe has never felt like he answered their prayer. To the senior saint that is just reveling in hearing another testimony to God's glory. So how about before we begin with your faith journey, why did you pick Psalm 139?
Well, I loved being a mother. I loved being pregnant. I love the fact that God knew me before I was ever formed. He knew the days of my life. He knew my sins. He knew how he could use me. It just spoke to me all the way through. And I love those last two verses. I think it's two verses where it says, search me and know me, forgive me.
You know, I so connect with what you're saying because it solidifies my faith, if you will, because God knew every sin I'd ever commit. He knows how I'm going to end up. He knows my whole journey. And yet he still chose to reveal Jesus to me. And so it encourages me because he knew every time I'd fall short or backslide or make mistakes, and yet he still revealed the truth through Jesus that my sins would be cleansed, my past, my present, my future sins, as I trusted in Jesus. It wasn't about me measuring up or being good enough or balancing the scales. There was more good than more bad. God knew the entirety of all my sin and yet chose and called me to be his own. And it sounds like that's been understood in your mind too, that he loved you and you had nothing to do about it. He just decided to love on you and reveal truth, help you understand that Jesus is your Savior, and you asked him into your heart. So what was that process? Was that at a young age? Because I knew you had an experience in your 40s, but you also grew up with a grandmother, a grandfather, an uncle, others that modeled Christian character to you. But when did it become more and more personal?
Well, I started going to church as an infant with my mother and my brother. Had really good Sunday school teachers and Bible study leaders. But at age 11, I was in a revival in our church, and it became clear to me that I needed to commit my life to Jesus Christ, that I was a sinner and that I needed him to forgive me. It was a kind of a new revelation, even though I'd had all this other teaching in my background, but it was the start of a new life in Jesus Christ.
Shirley, just another reason for why I'm learning to love you and appreciate you. It was very similar to me at the age of about 11 at a youth camp underneath a star-filled sky after hearing a message about Jesus being the Savior of the world, and because there's sin separating us from God, there's no way we can cross that chasm, if you will. We can't interact and be involved with this holy God because we're unrighteous, we're sinners. And that message stirred in my heart. I recognized I was a sinner even at that young age, knowing that I fell short, that I lied, I stole, I had cheated people, and I knew I couldn't have a relationship with God. But then they emphasized who the Lord Jesus was, how he came to take away our sins, how he died on the cross. He paid the punishment that I deserved. It forever changed me, and it's been part of a faith journey story that I get to share. So you had that similar experience, but there were stepping stones, or we would say that sanctification process came over a period of years. Didn't something happen in your 40s that ignited or had you in a closer walk with God through Jesus?
Yes, I was a member of Explorers Bible Study in Beardstown, Illinois, and everything about the Bible became so true to me, so alive, so personal, that I became closer to Jesus Christ in that time. Really received the message of the Holy Spirit and knowing that He had been with me from the beginning of my faith. He was always there with me, and it was just a real learning time for me. It's a very in-depth Bible study, and I was in it for over 20 years.
So that's been 40 years ago when God was doing a new work and revealing, I don't know if you'd say more truth, but the Bible became more and more alive,
right.
And you got inspired and encouraged and blessed. Well, fast forward at these 40 years from that point, you're in your 80s and you're deciding to write a book and a collection of some of your stories because you want to give God the glory, and your children know your faith journey, but I think you want to pass this on to your grandchildren and encourage the next generation and future generations to know the love of God. So talk about that process of writing this book.
I don't even know when it became real to me that I should write my faith journey, but I started about a year and a half ago. I started just simply with my life. Mostly I wanted to pass on my faith and my faith journey that others could, especially my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, could know me through Jesus and that they would be inspired to live a life for Him.
You know how I was talking about before the broadcast that whenever I meet those in their 80s and 90s that are still active and involved in life, it's an encouragement because I'm thinking, wow, I got a good 20, maybe 30 years left in me, and look at how they're still engaged in life and being creative. And, you know, in your 80s, you're deciding to write a book, and, you know, you're going to be going on this Philadelphia trip with us in the coming months, and you've driven here to the WLUJ studios in Springfield a couple times that I've been here. And it inspires me, and I'm hoping maybe there's some senior saints tuned in that are thinking, you know, I've never taken time to record some of these life lessons I learned or some of the stories of growing up through the Depression or experiencing the heartache of World War II or some of those memories that will be lost if they're not recording them and passing them on to their family members or their children or grandchildren. And at the very least, maybe they say, well, I don't have family. I'm the last survivor. Well, share it with the neighbor kids or somebody in your block. There's such great value in you recounting your life experiences and passing them on. So please allow this program to be maybe the catalyst to get you to be thinking about, maybe I should journal something down or write about some experiences because they'll be lost if you don't record them. Now, Shirley, early you talked about God being like your father. You didn't have a dad model of great love or care or compassion for you. So tell us a little about this Father God, Almighty God, the sovereign creator of the universe, who's all-powerful and yet personal.
It's so hard to put it all in words, but in my life, especially after my conversion at age 11, I just hung on to God as my father. Even though my grandfather and my uncle filled a lot of that vacuum, I still needed that father relationship because it was an empty hole in my life, and I wanted it to be filled, and in order for it to be filled, I had to hang on to his coattails, if you want to say that, because with having a relationship with God as my father, it gave me the courage to live my life.
I know I've shared this over the years, I guess 25 years of Mark and Friends morning programs, I think going into our 26th year, but I've given this illustration out many times, and I think it bears being brought up again. But oftentimes we, for better or for worse, indict God the Father according to how our earthly father treated us or didn't treat us. And so if we happen to have a decent dad, we may oftentimes look at God as being pretty decent, but he might have let us down or been a workaholic or been absent at times during special occasions or maybe let us down, and so we can have that tendency of looking at God the Father in those ways, let alone if our Father was totally absent, abusive, whether it's verbally or physically, or just didn't model love or care or compassion, we can often look at God as being very distant or unapproachable. And so we have to be really careful that we understand the true nature of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, who extended grace and love and care and met all the needs and loves on us and is full of grace and truth. And so it seems like you had this grandfather and uncle modeling some great characteristics, but God just revealed himself to you in very individual ways to bring peace and hope and comfort and care. I think of one of my favorite verses, I believe it's James 4:8, come near to God and he'll come near to you, that I share with many people. Test God on this. Maybe your life has been filled with trials and tribulations and frustrations and hurt and heartache. But approach God and ask him to reveal truth and love and care and compassion. The Bible says, draw near to him and he'll draw near to you. And maybe you've been very far from God or seen him as being very distant and maybe uninvolved in your life. Well, turn towards him. He's always waiting to take you into his arms, to care for you, to provide. It doesn't mean everything just goes away or all the heartache just gets removed. But he can bring healing and hope, and you'll have an eternity with him that, trust me, will make up for any short-term disappointment or heartache you may have experienced here on earth. But surely you have that eternal perspective because you know your destiny is to spend time with God, but you're making the most in your later years. And I love a senior that finishes well, and you're writing this book and you want to dedicate it to your children and grandchildren. Is there anyone else you want to dedicate it towards?
Well, I would have to say my uncle and his family. Aunt Roberta is my aunt, my mother's sister, and they only lived a block away. So I was always there. I grew up with their support. There was nothing that they withheld from me. Mm-hmm. They loved on me. They counseled me. They let me be a teenage mother to mm-hmm. their children.
Wow.
They had six children, and that was a blessed time in my life. Although they lost a baby at 2 months and 3 days old when I was 16. Mm. And that was a real test of faith because I didn't understand how God would take that baby.
Right, right. Yeah, there'll be many things that we won't understand on this side of heaven, but we can always trust in God's character, in his goodness, and he gave up his one and only son, the greatest gift that he could give to all of mankind to allow us to have a relationship with him. So we do just sometimes fall down on our knees. And like King David, who struggled through many of the Psalms, where he began with, why God, why yeah. my father and mother abandoned me, or different things. But by the end of the Psalm, he kind of reconciles and says, but you are holy, you are good, and I rest in that truth. Well, surely another thing I really appreciated about you before you went on the air today was talking about all the caregiving that you gave out to your sister, your mother, your husband. And I think you said, like, at the age of, like, five and a half, you were already initiating, you know, meeting up with some older people in your town, and it seemed like God wired you just to be a caretaker.
Well, I was 5 years old, I think, when I probably started doing this and was able to go out on my own. I lived in this town of 300 people. There was nothing to do. Mm-hmm. And I just seemed to have a heart for older people. We had a lady that lived across the street, and I would go over there and watch her crochet. We had Mr. Hoffman, who was a rural mail carrier, and I would go over there and listen to Billy Sunday mm-hmm. and Dwight Moody, and I got introduced to Moody Radio through him, and he was my Bible school teacher. I loved him dearly. Mm-hmm. There were other widowed ladies in town that I visited. One had flowers, and one of the flowers that she had was what I called baby pansies. I guess the real name is violas. And I have them in my yard today because of her and my love for those little flowers.
Well, in case you just tuned in, I have Shirley Clark in the studio with me. We're here at the WLUJ Studios in Springfield, which is the hometown of Shirley. And I appreciate you coming in and being a part of the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at WLUJ.org, also at greatnewsradio.org under the Mark and Friends link. So you can pass it on to a friend, as I believe it's an encouraging message for us all, because God is a good God. He's a father to us all. He would be the greatest dad if we just surrender and open ourselves up to his leading and his guiding. He cares for you, and he desires an eternity for you as you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Shirley, I'm going to close out with a special song by Roy Dale and Dusty Rogers, dedicating it to you and all those that need to be reminded today of God's great love and care for you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Shirley Clark with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.
God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love of mine, God will take care of you.
I go a long way back with that wonderful old hymn, back in Uvalde, Texas, on the back porch of my grandmother Wood's home. She was churning. On her left was her Bible and her Baptist standard. She would churn a while, and she would sing, God will take care of you, for a while, and read her Bible. 2 years later, when I was 7, I stood at her bedside at a hospital in San Antonio. She was dying from peritonitis caused by a burst gallbladder. I walked to her bed rather timidly, and I said, Grandma Wood, Mama Wood, does it hurt? She said, yes, honey, it hurts. Rub my arms, please. And I did. And she said, but it's all right, Francis. The Lord is here. Oh, my, I'll never forget that. Nor my grandmother would. Nor that song.
God will take care of you through every day. Or all the way, He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
And He will. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.